You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people, this is the Maggie Dawn Show.
We, as Republicans, as Democrats, as independents, as liberals and conservatives,
get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you. Stand back,
stand back. If it was bad before today, I cannot believe how much worse it has gotten.
If we don't band together and protest, our democracy will be gone.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
And I'm freaked the frickin' frack out.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth. Here is Maggie Dawn.
We made it. Another week in Trump 2.0 is in the books. Happy Friday, everybody. My name's Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, I'm really excited to share with all of you that my colleague in both the law and broadcasting, former U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin, James Santel, will be joining me with some regularity.
Yes.
And so welcome, Jim, to the Maggie Dawn Show. Glad to have you here.
Maggie, what a great honor. What a delight to be with you, my friend, my colleague, and just thrilled to talk with you about these important issues of the day as they break every single day,
as
do they not,
break.
My friend?
Yeah. Right. So if you're just joining us, let's hop right in with some of the news, national news of the day. We had a jobs report out this morning, much anticipated, and I was really looking forward to it as an economist because jobs reports are backward looking and they're point in time. They're done largely by a survey. This survey was conducted a while ago. Then they have to crunch the numbers, and then the job reports comes out some weeks later.
And they revise them, yes? Is
and
that
then,
right?
And then
right.
It's basically like a trailing observation, and then like today's jobs report announcement will get revised in another quarter as they continue to collect data. But most importantly about jobs reports, they are backward-looking. It's not like looking at what the stock market is doing, which is an instant reflection of what is happening.
A snapshot. That's not this.
Today. No. The jobs report, backward looking. So for the last 2 weeks, as the Trump tariff terror has been tanking and destabilizing the global economy and turning what was an economy that was the envy of the world, if it wasn't reaching into regular folks' pocketbooks yet, and people were still rightfully so concerned about prices from housing to gas to childcare and eggs, of course.
Yes, yes.
For the last 2 weeks, especially within the last week, Donald Trump, J.D. Vance, Howard Lutnick, over and over and over again, keep saying, this is the Biden economy, this is the Biden economy.
This Look at
is
this
the
terrible thing I inherited,
yes,
right?
Yes, which is a lie.
It is.
And then all of a sudden today, the White House is like, look at these great jobs numbers. We're doing fabulously.
Jim, and we're responsible for all of that now, right?
Yes. So they talk out of both sides of their mouths all the time. This one just stood out to me. And again, the actual job numbers is plus 170,000 jobs. It's a positive number, but not all that great. So it's a fine number. Right. And I'm glad it's not a worse number.
Right. But it's not knock your socks off, right?
Correct.
It's not at that level.
So anyways, I just wanted to get your thoughts, Jim. This sort of double talk, it speaks to me of a problem that has occurred in presidential cycling for a long time, which is Republicans come in and put in rich people-friendly economic policy. It indeed makes wealth inequality worse. Wages don't go up much in a real wage growth sense. They screw it all up. They give out trillions of dollars in tax cuts to people that don't need them. And then a Democrat comes in, takes a bunch of flack, fixes it.
Cleans it all up.
And then
rinse,
wash, and repeat. Right. Is this more of the same in your view?
It is, absolutely. And again, Maggie, you, between the two of us, you're the numbers person. You are the economist. That's not me. But I always understood that the notion of assigning responsibility, even, I don't know if you go with me on this, but even for an entire term of a presidency, can't be completely attributed in the moment to that president, right? You are necessarily inheriting years and years of history and years of movement and change and worldwide economic, macroeconomics, microeconomics. And yes, probably over several years, you can be take some responsibility or some blame or some joy about what you have done. But that notion of an instant success, and especially Maggie, as you've identified here, the notion that probably I can look at my watch and give it another day and another economic forecast or report.
And they'll disclaim responsibility.
48 hours ago, we were fascinated and obsessed by Joe Biden and how terrible his economy was. On January 20th, I came in and suddenly it began to move in the right direction. And finally, although it was bad for a long period of time, now I've resurrected all that in 100 days. Again, not an economist here. My sense is that just as a pure mathematical and economic notion is incredible. You can certainly have a dramatic impact negatively, as we have seen.
Yeah,
right?
It's the way that I like to explain this to people is, in general, it is absolutely the case that an individual administration cannot an economy
right.
make better unilateral. It's very difficult, right? You need steady growth, but not too hot growth, because then you get too much inflation. Right. There are global events, whether it's Russia invading Ukraine, disrupting the worldwide supply of oil,
pandemics,
COVID.
Out
right.
There, right?
There
right.
are things that a single administration cannot control. The inverse, and what we're experiencing now, is that you can break an economy
yes.
single-handedly. And Donald Trump has been, listen, he's the best at very few things, but he is the best at tanking the U.S. economy. Mm-hmm. And you just need to look at the fact that many businesses, lots of Wall Street banks, are now hedging analyses and forecasts or not even producing forecasts at all. I've listened to a couple of shareholder calls. They're fascinating because it's kind of like, well, we don't know. And what happens when businesses don't know is they don't invest.
Right.
Right. Right. Where you're talking about capital infrastructure, job retraining, job upscaling, R&D, they tend to hoard cash and sit on it because they're perceiving risk in the uncertainty. So I just wanted to start everybody with the...
Right.
Boy, yesterday, it's all Joe Biden's fault. Today, boy, aren't we great.
Aren't we good? What we have done in 100 days. And to your point, Maggie, again, about that notion of stability, the whole concept here is that if you tell the world, which does have these dramatic and traumatic things that happen along the way that are unpredictable,
yes.
but if you've got a certain sense that, okay, we're for the most part on the straight and narrow when it comes to fundamental economic policy.
Well, that's
right,
gone, right? And I've made this point, Jim, that you're making here as well. On nearly every conceivable policy front, where we're talking about foreign policy, whether we're talking about domestic economics, global economics, whatever it may be, to negotiate, to be a deal maker, the person sitting on the other side of the table with you has to actually believe what you're right, telling right. them is reliable. Nothing about this administration is reliable. Right. And so you're seeing chaos everywhere.
Right. And they have no predictability then, because I can't count on you, the promise that you may make today across the table.
Correct.
I may think the
there's
smile
no
is
deal
nice.
To be had.
The eyes are twinkling, but there's no deal to be had. And because of that, I may be risk averse more than I otherwise would be in the economy. And when something bad does come along, I think I can't rely upon Jim or Maggie to be there for me. It's that complete uncertainty that you're establishing. And that's what he's done.
It also creates what I'm going to call increased risk and downside perception. Hmm. Because when everything is so uncertain, when the government of the United States is a completely unreliable, not a good faith actor in any way, shape, or form, again, business risk tolerance goes way down, and it tends to actually go down more than a pure analytical exercise would require, because we're emotional and CEOs are emotional. We're human beings. So again, all of this winding up to, frankly, by the end of May, pack quite a punch. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, it's not the biggest businesses in the world that will really feel pain. They'll feel some pain.
And they can survive.
But they will survive.
Stuff.
It is the small businesses, the businesses on thin margins, just like families that are living close to the edge, that will get pushed over, and there'll be only one person to blame for that. His name is Donald J. Trump. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. This is the Maggie Dawn Show, joined in this first hour by former U.S. Attorney James Santel. We're reviewing the news of the day. We've got Chris from Sun Prairie on the text line saying people need to start calling out Donald Trump for not being a Republican. He doesn't follow any of their beliefs or policy positions. Yes, there is no Republican in the Republican Party. It's just MAGA.
Absolutely. And again, all those principles that you and I grew up on thinking, we have a general sense they're sometimes wrong about what Democrats are about, what Republicans are about. The Democrats, again, have their own challenges these days in terms of messaging and even moving forward. But the Republicans were always the party of, number one, sound law enforcement, stability overseas, that those autocracies around the world, they were our enemies, fiscal conservatism, all those kinds of things. None of that anymore.
Gone.
It's all erratic.
Gone.
It's all gone. It's all erratic. And it changes from day to day. The affiliations change from day to day. No ability to count on any of it anymore.
Unrecognizable. We got Jack from Racine. Jack, say hello to Jim. What would you like to share this afternoon?
Hey, Jim. Hello. I love your political economic discussion. I agree with what you're saying. And I think it's perhaps far worse than most people are thinking, because I've been listening to some economists talking about the realignment taking place in the world order, both economically and politically, which it isn't just going to be like, oh, we're going to have a recession. Things might get kind of slow for 2 years, and then we're going to move on. That we're talking about very much a multi-year situation that Trump is setting up for us with all the negative things he's doing for the economy and politically.
I think you cut out there a little bit, Jack. I completely agree with you. These issue areas intersect and talk to one another. Foreign policy destabilizing, the abandonment of the Western alliance and NATO, the abandonment of any sort of sound or rational approach to the U.S. economy. Those things are intersecting and creating, exacerbating the uncertainty that we've been talking about.
Absolutely. Maggie, a long time ago, you and I talked about the reason why you have courts in a state, in a nation. And yes, it's for law and order and safety and security, all those things that you and I have been about in our careers. It's also to send the message that if you come to Wisconsin or New York or the United States, you can rely upon a court system that will enforce what? Contracts.
Yes.
Basic understandings about economies and how people interact with each other. At again, the micro level, the macro level, all those kinds of things. That encourages economies. When you're also destabilizing the rule of law, arresting judges, you are criticizing judges, you're asking for their impeachment, it has an impact. To your point about the interrelationship of all this, it has an impact upon the economy and the way in which the country should be growing. Just the opposite of what you want.
Absolutely. That's Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney. I'm Maggie Dawn. Here's a little nerd factoid for you. Do you know which course in law school counts for the most credit? It's property. And why is property the most heavily weighted course in all of law school, no matter what law school you go to? Because at the root of every democracy is the establishment of the rule of law so as to acknowledge private property rights and ultimately contracts. We're losing our grip on that, along with our democracy and a stable global economy and a foreign policy. We're going to take care of a couple of messages. We'll continue with today's breaking news with Jim Santel and me, Maggie Dawn, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Happy Friday, everybody. We made it. Another week in the books. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Have you ever screamed a question or a comment at your radio when I'm talking? Maggie, but what about, I want you to talk more about this and less about this. How about Maggie? Would you just shut up already?
No.
If any of those things have occurred to you, we got just the segment coming up at the top of the 5 o'clock hour for you. We call it Ask Maggie. You, our listeners, can send in questions about, well, damn near anything. Sports, food. I've even gotten questions about my hairstyle. And yes, of course, politics. You can shoot those questions in on our text line, 855-752-4842. You can always email those to askmaggie@civicmedia.us. That's askmaggie@civicmedia.us. And keep your station tuned in here. Again, we're going to have that segment at 5 o'clock. I got James Santel with me this hour. We've been talking about some of the news of the day. Also coming out today was the fact that Donald Trump, we knew this was coming. It's in Project 2025. But he signed an executive order that asks for the zeroing out. And I had to pause there. Asks whom is the operative question here. But asks, directs for all federal funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which puts PBS and NPR on the air, to zero out their funding, reduce it, eliminate it as much as is permissible under the law, which of course is the hook there, Jim, because the Corporation for Public Broadcasting is not an executive branch administrative agency. It's not controlled by the president. They're a congressionally funded, congressionally created thing.
Exactly. It comes out of those folks in the House of Representatives, the United States Senate. They created it. And this is also a part of, let's get wonky for a minute.
And they created it as a standalone entity. That's why it's the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Exactly. That sea of corporation means something,
it
right?
It sure does.
And so to get back to Project 2025, this is also an incarnation of that unitary executive theory, right? That says that, oh no.
We have kings.
No such thing as an independent agency. Congress? What? You created the Federal Reserve? No. The chairman of the Federal Reserve, that person, they should report to me as well. This is the latest incarnation of it, saying that I am the king, and executive functions, sure, they execute on the law generally and the appropriations, but I should be doing all of that. And that's why this is so dangerous. It's one of a kind of everything else that he has done, and now once again, it's joined with an infringement of basic right to know about what's going on. It's information.
And here's the thing. One of the themes that I want people to constantly be thinking to themselves is if you can set aside like the culture war frame for a moment, which means for a second, while we engage in these thought experiments together, to try to set aside a lot of the hyper-partisan setup of these discussions. And I want everyone, every time you hear about a cut, every time you hear about a change, or let's defund this or fire this person
eliminate this agency, right?
Today also getting, apparently they're going to fire some 1,000+ people from the CIA. Every time you hear that, what I want you to think in your head is who will pay the highest price and who stands to gain from this? Like, what's the upside and who gets the upside? When you look at this alleged claimed ability to defund the NPR and PBS because Donald Trump hates Big Bird, let's be clear. Ultimately, the people that this will have the greatest negative effect on are people that live in areas where they do not have dense populations and they do not have a huge panoply of news outlets and places to get information. People that have less childcare, not more. Mm-hmm. People who's and folks who really think of a farmer. Hey, I listen to NPR because I've got good information about agricultural pricing.
Right.
The weather.
Right.
You know, so this is one of those things that, again, it's like the people in the deepest red jurisdictions
are the ones who will suffer most.
Correct.
And you know, you and I both know, Maggie, the Supreme Court's looking at this case involving the FCC. I think it's $8 billion to bring broadband internet, right, to those various communities. And there's a dispute about that. It's a part of the same thing. Once again, we keep people from having information. We don't want them to be able to go on the internet and get access to this broadcast, other things, because as Donald Trump said many years ago, I love the uninformed, unintelligent people, right?
Well, and as Elon Musk says, right? The humanity's greatest flaw is its empathy.
Right.
Oh, that's just that's a woke idea, Jim, is some empathy amongst each other.
Right, right.
Truly a sad moment. That one's going to be in court for sure.
Yes.
Keep your eye on that. Will the House and the MAGA cult continue to deal away the first branch's powers to an even greater extent? This one should be a no-brainer that was set up, again, to be completely independent of the executive
branch.
And
always asking your good question, Maggie, which is, who is to benefit? Who's to lose? What's really going on here? What's the motivation? You know, the president's today also announcing things about his budget, right? Slashing huge amounts. The question then is why? What's really behind this? That's the question you're asking all your listeners to answer.
Yeah. To date, they're actually... The analysis that I've seen from the Congressional Budget Office is that the Donald Trump administration has spent I don't want to give the wrong number, but I think it's they're on track to spend $200 billion more at the same moment in time than Joe Biden had 100 days into his presidency. So there's not any cost savings happening. When I return with Jim and each and every one of you, Donald Trump has renewed his threats to yank Harvard's tax-exempt status. What does this mean? What does this say about, say, your favorite place of worship? What's actually on the line there? We're going to discuss more with each and every one of you and my friend Jim Santel right here on the Maggie Dawn Show, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Keep it locked. One such farm update is coming up next, and then Jim and I will be back right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back if you're rejoining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Got a fine guest with me for this first hour. His name's James Santel. He hosts a program on Saturday mornings that I love to tune into called Amicus, a legal brief. He is our guest this afternoon. You're going to want to tune in. Remind everyone, it is 9 to 11.
That's correct. 9 to 11 Saturday mornings. How exciting.
I wanted to make sure your time didn't change.
Right. I think, unless there's been a change in the last few minutes or so, I think that's when we're on again tomorrow morning.
Yes. Right? Jim, you are often my accompaniment as I'm doing my house cleaning and other chores on Saturday mornings. I encourage everybody to go ahead and tune in. I just want to mention, and we're going to move on because there's some other breaking news that I'm just hearing about now that I want to share with you all. Donald Trump tweeting or posting today on Truth Social that they're going to seek to remove Harvard's tax-exempt status. This had come up before. It seemingly had died down when it came out that their threats to Harvard and this midnight letter was sent in error. And there
oops.
Was, oops. By the way, folks, perhaps this coming week I'll detail who's on Harvard's legal team, but much like Judge Dugan's legal team, it is a who's who of big time Supreme Court and federal court conservative Federalist Society member type lawyers. These are serious Republican lawyers, if I can say that. That's
mainstream lawyers.
Yes.
Who, again, know what they're doing, but on that side of the political aisle. So this is not a Democratic initiative here. This is a part of the old Republican Party, the party that used to exist.
Yes, the one that was recognizable.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I just wanted to make these two observations about the Harvard kerfuffle. One, a couple of facts. There was a lawsuit in 1818 involving Dartmouth, that basically established that universities indeed are tax exempt, and they can fundraise and do what they want. And it's those are First Amendment issues.
Makes a lot of sense. Way back then, it still does today.
Correct. Secondly, there was one prior time where a university's tax-exempt status was taken, and it was when, I believe it was Oral Roberts University, prohibited interracial dating. So because that is racially discriminatory, they lost their tax-exempt status. They eventually reversed the policy, the thing litigated up, and they got their tax status returned. Here's my bottom line. If a president, because they don't like the opinions or the perceived opinions of an institution, a private institution, can direct the IRS, which is not supposed to be used to extort political cooperation.
Get my agenda done through directives here through the IRS.
Right. Right. If that is possible and legal, it basically means a president can shut down any private
anything.
Organization for any reason or no reason and effectively run an extortion racket.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what it is.
That's the reason why this, again, is so stunning. He tweets again, it's what they deserve. And the they, Maggie, to your point, could be anything out there now, not just Harvard, right? Significantly, again, I happen to know this because they used to be my clients. It turns out, of course, that on the face of the law, the president has no capability to do this. Now, I hasten to add, that assumes that the law is being followed, right? Doesn't prevent him from doing this, but the law is very clear. It's so clear, in fact, that if you're an employee of the IRS and someone calls you, whether the president or somebody down the street, and says, you know what, I want to open up, look at Jim Santel's tax, you have an obligation to report that to the Office of the Inspector General. That's how serious this
is. Which just happened because someone from the Trump administration did, in fact, call someone at the IRS to tell them to go a little easy on Mike Lindell, the pillow guy.
Right.
And exactly. They reported it to the IRS's inspector general.
That's how bright this line is. Nobody should be affecting tax liability out there.
And that's actually differentiable. Like, there is a law that says the president can't use the IRS in this way.
Right.
That's different from the Department of Justice.
Right.
It is only a post-Nixonian norm.
Yes.
Under which we have all understood, and we should have, law enforcement not acting at the political whim of a president to punish political enemies, but rather executing their functions in an objective, diligent manner.
Right.
That's not written into law. The IRS limitation
is there.
Is.
Again, once again, have we spoken about the Congress yet? Yeah, we have, Maggie, right? About their role in this. They established that this is the law of the United States of America. The president again this morning when he says, yeah, I think we're going to pull the tax status. You can make a non-frivolous argument that he is breaking the law by virtue of even direct suggesting that, right?
Correct.
That's how serious this is. And as you said, it's got consequences far beyond Harvard. But it's scary and shocking, even so today.
Here's a wee bit of some other breaking news. Two things involving the undead, also known as Stephen Miller. Stephen Miller, Donald Trump's one of his closest advisors. Yeah, the guy that kind of looks like Dracula that pops up, very pale, pallid, odd-looking fellow. apparently, he's now a top contender for the National Security Advisor role. Boy, it's very clear Donald Trump cares not a whit about whether or not you can do the job, only if you'll just do what he says. That's news bit one. News bit two, apparently Stephen Miller's, he had this outside group, this legal group that filed a whole bunch of garbage lawsuits. They filed another garbage lawsuit today. They sued Supreme Court Justice John Roberts, arguing that the Judicial Conference of the United States and the Administrative Office of the U.S. Courts, which are basically like the logistical arms.
They keep it running. They pay the bills, that sort of thing.
That those things need to be brought under the aegis and direct control of the president, which would be an avenue by which to bully and harass federal court judges, maybe even arrest a couple.
Absolutely. Let's think about that, right? Going through the back door and then coming out through the front door and saying, hey, we're in control here now. Yes, that's right. The Administrative Office, U.S. Courts, and all those other trappings. It's an administrative agency, but because you've got a big court system in this country, right? You've got to support that, right?
Yep.
And it sits there not too far from Union Station. That's where the building is. I run out of adjectives, right? This is absurd. This is crazy. This is nutso.
When it will lose.
Right, right. Exactly, right.
I do not think that Chief Justice Roberts, who has himself questioned whether or not a congressionally adopted and presidentially signed code of ethics could even apply to the Supreme Court. I don't think they're really going to go all in on this idea that our logistical operations should be controlled by the president.
My guess is right now John Roberts is not scurrying around Washington, D.C. looking for good legal counsel because he's
probably
in trouble
in
this lawsuit. I wonder how service was affected. I wonder if that happens.
Yeah.
Do you walk up to Capitol Hill and knock on the door and say, I'd like to see the Chief Justice. Hey, I've got this lawsuit that Stephen Miller would like to file because I'll eventually be like to shut you all down and see what the reaction is. I say that, of course, tongue in cheek. But this once again underscores what's going on in the White House, right? He's in charge of domestic policy right now, obviously getting yet another job there, or maybe getting a new job.
What is Trump doing other than having little mini temper tantrums and taking pictures and passing out hats at awkward cabinet meetings where everybody like, oh, dear leader, yes.
Right. What is going on right now?
It's weird.
Now, the Stephen Miller is then completely at sea. Is there nobody there who says, no, Stephen, yeah, we can have this discussion over coffee and the mess.
But Jim, the answer to that question is no, there is no
there
one
isn't.
There. There are no adults in the room.
Right.
There are just toadies and lackeys and yes men and women. And we got one of our regular listeners and callers on the air are on the line. Hey, Tom from L.A., how you doing this Friday? Say hello to Jim. What do you got for us?
Hey, Tom.
Well, Maggie, I'll tell you what. Hi, Jim. First, the governor of Wisconsin is a hero to me now.
Yes.
In terms of what he did today. And shame on your leader, this whole mess. But I would just really recommend that everybody this weekend go to Google or go to DuckDuckGo or wherever you want to go and look up Jude Wininsky and the two Santa Claus theories. Because it basically is exactly what the GOP does every time. They spend like drunken sailors. They spend all our money. They make it so we have the biggest deficit in the world. Democrats come in, have to clean it up, but the Democrats in cleaning it up have to cut certain social safety net programs. So therefore, it looks like the Republicans are the tax cut Santa Clauses. And I just recommend everyone read the article. It's Two Santa Claus Theory, Jude Wininsky, Common Dreams.
I'll check it out. Tell everybody about what Governor Evers did today.
He basically stood up and said, I'm not afraid of Trump, and I have not done anything in terms of breaking the law the way that Holman had said to him, who Holman is just a puke anyway.
Yeah, he is. Thanks so much, Tom. So if you didn't catch, this was one of the other bits of breaking news that I wanted to get to today. Tom Holman, who is Trump's quote-unquote border czar, he's sort of like today's Elmer Fudd. He's given me a lot of FUD.
Mm-hmm.
I feel very FUDdy when I'm listening to Tom Holman.
Well, substance and style, right? Both of those things.
Very FUDdy. What he said was that basically Governor Evers, we might look to arrest him for the ICE guidance that he gave out to state agencies. Let me be clear about what that is. It's to follow the law, but it also clearly spells out how interactions with ICE agents showing up at departments should be handled. There's nothing illegal about what the governor has done. Multiple governors have done it. The only reason that Holman has got Governor Evers' name in his mouth is to effectively stir up more Wisconsin-focused hate, fear, and intimidation.
Right. Wisconsin is the hotbed of all of our problems, right?
Yes.
And what the governor is doing, it's got a parallel in what the chief judge, you know him well, obviously,
yes,
Carl Ashley, is also doing. The same kind of thing. He's saying, okay, we shouldn't keep law enforcement, if it has a legitimate purpose, out of courts, they're public buildings, but balance. Under what circumstances can we have them do their jobs? Probably not right inside a courtroom, maybe in the hallway, maybe other places. It's balancing all around, right?
Listen, in Trump 1, there was an injunction entered that prevented ICE agents from entering state courthouses in the states of Massachusetts and New York because they were disrupting state court processes.
Exactly, right.
Let's see if we can get a couple more calls in here. Dale from Wausau, say hello to Jim. What you got for us?
Yeah, thanks, Maggie. Maggie, the reason I called today is on Monday of this week, I got an hour of your show, and then there was a baseball game, and this is through WXCO in Wausau. Today, I got a half hour of your show until 4:30, and then another baseball game. I was just wondering if there is a station here on the dial where I can get your show. I mean, prior to the reorganization there and the time slots and everything, I got your show every day. But now I get an hour, or like today, a half hour, and that's it.
Dale, first of all, thank you so much for listening. We've got my producers on. Somebody is going to pick up the phone, help you find a local affiliate where you may be able to hear me on your regular old terrestrial radio up there in Wausau, Dale. Here's the other thing, Dale. You can download the Civic Media app. It is free onto your cell phone. And then you can just listen to me on the app. Boy, I love me some baseball, but Dale, I love you even more, brother.
We need to have more Dale.
You're opting for me over the crew. I love you, Dale. Big ups. We got Richard on the line, Mark on the line, and you folks on the text and phone lines, 855-752-4842. When we come back, we're going to talk about what we missed and haven't yet talked about that you should absolutely know about from today's and this week's news. Keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Everybody, happy Friday. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. If you've been listening to me for a while, you know that I fully embrace my nerdiness. And one of the things that I enjoy most is spending my time with each and every one of you, as well as some fellow nerds. And I got a great guest right now who I hope understands that I mean that with reverent
Absolutely.
Respect.
I've got the decoder ring. I've got the secret password. We are the Nerd Society, my friend. And as evidenced by the fact that your table here is covered with paper.
Paper
you
flurry.
And me both, right?
I got Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney, with me this afternoon until 5 o'clock. At 5 o'clock, you're going to want to stick around because we got today's installment of Ask Maggie. You can ask me anything you damn well want. You can send in your questions, 855-752-4842, or at askmaggie@civicmedia.us. That email again is askmaggie@civicmedia.us. The Tom Homan threats to Governor Evers and Tony's response, I mean, here's what Homan said yesterday. I meant what I said. You cannot support what we're doing, and you can support sanctuary cities if that's what you want to do. Just P.S. here, the term sanctuary city has no meaning at all whatsoever. It's not a legal term. There is no definition. It's just red meat for the base. If that's what you want to do, but if you cross that line to impediment or knowingly harboring and concealing an illegal alien, that's a felony. We're treating it as such. Evers responded, called Homan's threat chilling, said this as well. We now have a federal government that will threaten or arrest an elected official or even everyday American citizens who have broken no laws, committed no crimes, and done nothing wrong. As disgusted as I am about the continued actions of the Trump administration, I am not afraid. Hear, hear.
Hear, hear. And again, what is our governor doing? He's trying to make government work. Trying to make it go, right? To accommodate law enforcement, to accommodate public and private interests. That's what a governor does, Mr. Homan. And I offer this a footnote too. Here's the other PS. Tom Homan, he rolled this back a little bit. This is the same Tom Homan who said, what, about a month or so ago, Maggie, federal judges, we don't care what judges say, we're coming. Now, he rolled that back a little bit because probably there's way too much pressure. This is the same guy who said, federal judges, doesn't matter.
I'll tell you what club Tom Homan doesn't belong to. Mensa. This is not the sharpest deck in the box. He's just a useful idiot. That's my opinion. And here was the salacious bit of advice that Evers gave his administration. Please call one of our administration attorneys if there is ICE agents there so that you can be advised. Like, what? That's not talk. The advice of talk to your lawyer is not a crime.
Let's think through this. Let's develop some agenda here that is based upon reason and judgment and discretion so that we can make it all work. That's what our governor has said. And apparently that is inconsistent with the West Wing is talking about these days.
It's nuts. Richard, say hi to Jim. What do you got for us?
Hey, Richard.
Is this me?
Yes, go ahead, sir.
Oh, I was saddened to hear about the thing with the public television program.
Yes.
And I would suggest this is an interesting biography of Pete Seeger, who I met at one time. He has a program about his life called The Power of Song.
Mm.
And it involves public TV and his problems that were rooted with Senator McCarthy in Washington and his college schooling and his work in the military.
Well, check that out, Richard. You're talking about Night Moves, moving on, like that Pete Seeger, right? The other thing that I came across about Sesame Street specifically is on NPR's Throughline, which is one of their programs. If you want to know about Sesame Street, how it came about, its ethos, its motivating principles, go check that out.
It's a fascinating historical story also, right? It's not just people sitting around saying, let's put some puppets on the air.
They banned it in Mississippi and Alabama and Georgia. Because why? Because you had black kids and white kids. Oh, my goodness.
We can't have that.
Cannot have all of those people together. All right. Let's talk about a wee bit of things that you may have missed this week in the news. We don't have too much time, but I wanted you, Jim, to give folks a quick explainer and why it's important that when Judge Dugan was charged, it wasn't a grand jury indictment. It was just a criminal complaint.
Right.
Why does this matter?
This is James Madison's stuff. It's in our Constitution. You know that, Maggie. Your listeners know that as well. You are entitled to a review by a federal grand jury. What is that? That's 23 people. It's people culled from the community. And they make the determination in the end for 238 years whether or not a federal indictment will issue or not based upon probable cause. The complaint, yes, there's a process to do this. It's a stopgap. Where under those circumstances where you need to act quickly, you need to act decisively, you need to grab somebody in because you've got a violent crime, not applicable here at all. The grand jury still has to meet and determine whether there's probable cause here. If under those statutes, there really is a crime. And that's obviously a subject for a lot of discussion down the road. But there's a big difference between those two things. Let's embrace the grand jury process. Let's embrace reason and rationality inside the Department of Justice, if we can, that talks both about the circumstances under which we really need to arrest someone, as opposed to, as you and I have done throughout our career, you simply invite them in and have an initial appearance based upon a summons. And that also plainly not done here. Lots of problems with this process. And don't be surprised if some of this surfaces in terms of a motion to dismiss, motions for sanctions when this case wraps up.
U.S. Attorney, acting U.S. Attorney Rick Froehling, currently in the hot seat here. Yes. Boy, Rick, I know you're out there. I feel for you, man. Right. Boy, did they hand you a steaming pile. We come back, no steaming piles, just good, clean fun. With today's installment of Ask Maggie, we talk politics, we talk baseball, burgers, and all the rest when we come back. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Thanks so much, Jim.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.